Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. The real crux of Hegel's famous dialectic of master and slave, which we find in paragraphs 194 to 196 of his Phenomenology of Spirit in the self-consciousness section, consists in what happens to and through the person who's in the one-down position, the slave, or the bondsman is how it's sometimes also translated, the Knecht in German, as opposed to the master who is in a position of enjoyment, who gets to control, who gets to set the slave to work, and who derives recognition. The slave is in a secondary, and as Hegel will say, almost derivative position compared to the master. But here's where the master-slave dialectic radically reverses things and turns things upon their head. The master really is not dialectically developing. He or she enjoys this position in which they get the slave to work upon the world of objects for them, to transform those objects into things of their enjoyment. There is no further development there. There is a development on the part of the slave, and this is what the entire master-slave dialectic is really about. You notice that I'm representing this here by showing these sort of directions of, you might say, agency going from the master to the slave and also to the independent thing that is worked upon. And then there's this circular current running through them, and that represents the developing self-consciousness of the slave as an independent consciousness, no longer merely dependent, no longer merely a reflection of the will of the master, but something that has been attained, something that has been achieved. You notice I've got three things picked out here: fear, service, and work. Each of these, Hegel stresses, plays a key role. If you have one of these without having the others, you don't really get the sort of development that Hegel is taking place. And so, for example, he will tell us if you don't have the right sort of fear, all you end up with is a kind of stubbornness or self-centeredness on the part of the servant, and not something that is transformative and leading to a new type of consciousness. So let's actually take a look at some of the things that he says. I'm going to go through this text fairly quickly and not touching on every single part, but he says, what we've got here is a servant or a slave who exists in relation to the Lord or master. That is their essential reality. And so Hegel talks here about the slave discovering the truth of themselves. And at first, they take the truth to lie in the master. The master is really the one giving the truth to them as what they are, something like, as Aristotle called it, an ensouled tool, going to work on objects and transforming them for the enjoyment of the master. But something else is taking place here. And so Hegel first talks about the negativity that is involved on the part of the slave. The negativity is not just that they feel bad emotions or that they're deprived of, you know, the fruits of their labor, but the very capacity for being otherwise is, which is essential to self-consciousness, is that negativity. There's negativity upon negativity involved in the life and the consciousness of the slave. And that is essential to what it means for Hegel to be human being. So he goes on and he says, one way in which this is experienced is through fear. He says, this consciousness has been fearful, not of this or that particular thing, or just at odd moments, which could apply to the master too, right? But its whole being has been seized with dread. It has experienced the fear of death, the absolute Lord, the absolute master, who even the master is subject to. And here he says something really important. In this experience, it has been shaken to the very core of its existence. It has not just felt a feeling, it has had the entire meaning of its world and of itself and its existence called into question and perhaps even dangled in front of its face as something that's being taken away from it, knowing that it could die at any moment if the master or the master's kid or some other master or some other contingent circumstance decides so. This level of fear, This extent of fear, Hegel says, is necessary in order for this transformation to take place. So he says, what's going on here? This is a universal movement, an absolute melting away of everything stable. That reveals to us the, as he says, essential nature of self-consciousness, absolute negativity, pure being for self. Now, he says this becomes explicit for the slave, for the bondsman. For the Lord or the master, it exists for him as his object. Now, is this enough to simply feel fear to produce the transformation in self-consciousness that Hegel is talking about here? No, these two other elements are needed, service and work. So Hegel will go on and tell us that this fear is only implicitly this dissolution, and what we need here is service. Service of who? Service of the Lord. It provides a certain sort of stability to the instability that the fear has. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but consciousness is not therein aware that it is a being for self. It's not fully self-aware. Through work, he says, the slave becomes conscious of what he truly is. So the truth of the slave at this point begins to no longer lie in the master, but in the work, in the thing. The master is a consciousness who sets the slave to work by making them fear, by giving them determinate things to work upon. The slave does service for the master, but the slave does that precisely by turning to something else, the independent thing that has to be worked upon, whether it is mopping the floor or doing the taxes or dancing, in which case it's your own body that is the independent thing that you're taking control over. There's a subordination not only to the master in service, but to the thing itself. Hegel goes on and he says, desire has reserved to itself the pure negating of the object, thereby its unalloyed feeling of self. The slave is forced to put desire on hold. They cannot satisfy themselves. Think of farming, for example, or even better, since this is something that we can all relate to, I think, a little bit easier. Think about cooking. When you're cooking for somebody else, do you get to sample the dish as you're going through? Well, you may in fact taste the sauce a little bit just to make sure everything is on track, but if you're making a nice little cutlet for somebody, you don't cut off a little portion and pop it in your mouth. If they're in the position of the master and you're making something for them, they get the good stuff and you'll get to taste it later on. Or perhaps you had it earlier if you're working in a restaurant with the family meal or the crew meal beforehand, right? But you have to put your desire on hold. Anybody who's worked in restaurant settings knows exactly what I'm talking about. You put your desire on hold for hours and hours, a very basic desire to taste, to touch, to enjoy. That is for the patrons. So work, he says, is desire held in check, fleetingness staved off. Work forms and shapes the thing. That is what is required. If you want to form and shape the thing, you can't be enjoying the thing. And by doing this, the self-consciousness of the slave is something radically different than that of the master. It is getting to know itself through the world of objects. So Hegel goes on and he says, this is the negative middle term or formative activity, right? And he says, in this way, consciousness qua worker comes to see in the independent being of the object its own independence. Its own independence through working. Now, Hegel, towards the end, tells us, he makes the explicit connection that you have to have all three of these. He says, we have in the first moment the negative significance of fear, and then we have service, and then we have work. And he says, in fashioning the thing, the bondsman's own negativity, his being for self becomes an object for him only through his setting at naught the existing shape confronting him. But this objective negative moment is none other than the alien being before whom it has trembled. It looks at the thing as sort of an extension of the master, and it makes itself nothing in relation to it. And then he says, now he destroys this alien negative moment. posits himself as a negative in the permanent order of things and becomes for himself, somebody existing on his own account. In turning to the object that I'm working upon because the master put me to do it and I'm serving the master and I'm afraid of the master, by working on the object, I come to realize that the master doesn't have the power that I took them to have, a total power over everything. They are restricted. They don't actually know the object. I know the object because I work on it and I transform it. And I am, as a slave in that case, in a certain sense greater than the master. I develop a consciousness of myself through doing this. As I said, Hegel stresses that all three of these moments need to be here. He talks about this as a rediscovery of himself by himself. And he says, in the work where I seem to have only an alienated existence, where I seem to be set at odds with myself, to not actually possess myself, this is where I acquire a mind of my own. And he says, the two moments of fear and service and as such, as also of that of formative activity, are necessary. Without the discipline of service and obedience, fear remains merely formal. It doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't transform. It doesn't develop. Without the formative activity, the work, which is also service for the master, fear remains inward and mute. Consciousness does not become explicitly for itself. If, however, consciousness works on the objects without feeling that initial fear, then it doesn't have this transformative experience, according to Hegel, and it represents mere sort of stubbornness or a kind of selfishness on its own part, a self-centeredness, you could say. So he says, if it's not experienced absolute fear, but only lesser dread, its substance has not been infected through and through. So a determinate being still in principle attaches to it, having a mind of one's own, is self-will, a freedom still enmeshed in servitude. So what we have here is, in Hegel's view, something that occurs not in every condition of servitude, but only when the conditions are actually right. And when those conditions are actually right, we have a transformation, a higher development, a sublation of consciousness. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.